Read from the Word of God in the Old Testament. It's a little bit longer than I usually read, but I want to read this whole psalm this morning. And David, it's a psalm of David, and he's writing about something he doesn't know anything about, really. He's saying what God wants him to say, but he thinks he's talking about things in his time and in his life. Turns out, he's talking about the crucifixion. 1,000 years before it happened, the prophecy of God is on David. And so he writes, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delights in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye that seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, and all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied, and they shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindness of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, he that is a governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious word. We look at the scriptures this morning, and we have to remember that these scriptures were written by David. David was a prophet. Scripture talks about the prophet David, the Spirit of God, and God can speak in many ways. And through David, he spoke through songs. He spoke through music, and God blessed him. This was a song that David would have written. I can't imagine what kind of music or what kind of tune they would have had to a psalm that reads like this. But in the midst of this whole thing, he talks about the horrors of being crucified. Now, the thing about it is, David had never seen a crucifixion. Crucifixion, if it had been invented at all, was just barely in existence. The Carpathians started crucifixion. That was one of their things to do. And the Romans saw it when they came and conquered that part of the world, and they picked it up. Only thing is, the Romans made it worse. Crucifixion was bad enough when the Carpathians had it. But when the Romans got it, they refined it. Now, the whole object of crucifixion is not what we would do. When we execute a prisoner, we do it as painlessly and as easily as possible. We argue about it in the legislatures. We appropriate money. I mean, we can just go out and hang people. We don't do that anymore. We could do lots of things, but we don't do that anymore. We try to make an execution as quick and as painless as is possible. And we do it and we get it over with and go on. The design of crucifixion, my friends, was not to get it over with as soon as possible. The design of crucifixion was to make it go on and on and on as long as they could possibly make it go on. To make it as painful and as terrible as it could possibly be. Prisoners were not treated with any kind of dignity at all. But if you look through Psalm 22, and then you go to the New Testament, and you read the stories in the Gospels of the Lord being crucified, you discover that David is prophesying the very things that will happen to him. Now, when we pick up the story of Jesus crying out at the crucifixion, it was at what time? 3:00 in the afternoon. We know what times these things happen because Matthew and some of the others actually write down the times that things happen. At 3:00 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out. Fact is, he says he roared. He roared. He yelled with all his strength he had and all that was in him. And as he cried out because he was coming to the end of his life. He was coming to the end of his suffering. They had taken him the night before. They had him up all night. They had beat him with a stick. They had beat him with a whip. They had placed the crown of thorns on his head. They had placed nails in his hands and in his feet to attach him to a cross and tied him so he wouldn't fall off and hung him up between heaven and earth. We usually see the cross stuck way up high. Actually, they weren't. When people came to a crucifixion, the foot of the cross may have been that high off the ground. They came by And when the people came by, they were standing close enough to touch him. They were standing close enough when they walked by, they could look him in the face. They could say things that he could hear. They could hear what he had to say. He was not crucified way up here someplace away from everything. For the sake of decency, we show it with Christ with the loincloth off. But the truth is, my friend, people were stripped to the nakedness of their body and hung up naked between heaven and earth. What a humiliation this was that Jesus had to go through with his mother, Mary Magdalene, the women that traveled with him, his disciples, anyone, and everybody in Jerusalem came by, and there he hung. And the body, during the time of hanging, goes through some terrible changes and embarrassing changes. He would have had to have been there. He would have had to have been humiliated beyond words. And what a horrible thing it was. And by the time we pick up where we are today in our lesson, he had been hanging on the cross for 6 hours already. Early in the morning, they had nailed him to the cross and hung him up. He had been hanging there. And if you'll notice, the scripture we just read said, "All of my joints are out." Well, you see, when they hung him up like this on the cross and tied him up, then that let his joints sag and his body weight came down against him. So the joints are pulling out of their sockets as he hangs there. And as he, of course, the thirst, the need for fluids was tremendous because he had bled so much. And he's hanging there. He's going through this agony. And anybody that walks by, as I said a moment ago, they can see him eye to eye. Now you say, well, that's embarrassing for his disciples and all them and his mother and everybody to come by. It surely is. But let me tell you something. The people that hated him, the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of those people came by and he says, they shoot out the lip at me. They make fun of me. They say hateful things to me. He's hanging there dying. And these people who are leaders of Israel are walking by making fun of him, looking him straight in the eye and saying, well, you said you trusted God to deliver you. Let's see God come and do it. And at 3 o'clock, what he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." And that says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, my friends, he had this to go through alone. There was nobody to go through this with Jesus. There was nobody to help him. There was nobody to carry the burden and the load. He was so weak, he could not even carry the cross beam of the cross, but he collapsed in the street, and they picked out a man from Africa who happened to be in Jerusalem, Simon the Cyrenian. And Simon was made to carry the cross of Jesus because Jesus was so weak, he could not get through the streets with it on him. My friends, he came and he suffered this terrible indignity. Cursed is everyone, the Bible said, that hangeth upon the tree. So he was hung on a tree between heaven and earth. And the terrible sadness, the terrible heartache, and all of the things that go with that. And he had to do it all alone. There was not one person to go with him. There was not one person to be there. If people had paid attention, they should have been able to see what was happening. Having hung on the cross 6 hours, he cries out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," and what happened? Lights out. The darkness covered the earth. You could not see your hand in front of you. I do not understand how people could see this and not be changed. How they could see this when it was midday, 12 o'clock at noon, when the sun blanked out. the sun was shining bright in Palestine. And yet, at this moment, at this time, God blanked out the sun. I don't know where the sun went. I don't know what caused it to be dark. But the darkness covered the earth all over the world. Darkness covered the earth. And men and women were groping in the darkness. The cross of Jesus being up on the hill called Golgotha, and Jesus himself going through the indignity of this, my brothers and sisters, you know what? God could not look at it. God could not look at his son hanging there on the cross, and he could not let the world look at his indignity. So God blanked out the light. The darkness covered the whole earth. People were groping around to find their way at midday. For 3 hours, the sun did not shine. The stars did not shine. The moon did not come out. For 3 hours, he hung in the darkness. And at the end of the 3 hours, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, my friends, he has promised you and me that I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He has promised us that. He has promised us that he will be with us. My friend, when Jesus walked up Calvary's hill, there's an old song I used to hear sometimes in Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir singing it. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ the Lord walked up Calvary's hill and hung on the cross in the darkness of the night for us, for you, for me, for all the people. And at the moment that he cried out from the darkness, 3 hours of darkness, from the moment he cried out, there was an earthquake. And the rocks in Jerusalem, the cliffs, split apart all over the city. They split. Where did people bury the dead? In Jerusalem. They buried them in tombs that they hollowed out and were in the rock, limestone rock that Jerusalem's built on. They had these tombs built all in the city. Brothers and sisters, when that cry came, God, why have you forsaken me? When that happened, the earthquake happened. And when the earthquake happened, it burst open the ground. The ground cracked and just fell open. And it went through the cemeteries, and there were people who had been buried in recent times then. And those people, their graves were left open. The tombs broke apart. The stones rolled back. Everything moved back. And people saw the dead bodies laying in these tombs. 3 days later, when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, these people came also. When Jesus resurrected, he wasn't the only one that resurrected. When he came out of the grave, my friend, there were people that had recently been dead that people knew. You say, well, I thought there's people back in the old days. You wouldn't know anybody from 500 years ago, but you would know if your next door neighbor had died and you saw him put in the tomb and you met him in the street. So you had, when Jesus resurrected from the dead on what we say Easter Sunday morning, when he resurrected from the dead, he brought with him dead people whose bodies had been exposed when the earthquake came. So we're looking at this terrible time. Jesus is alone, and my friends, he's not alone. Just, you can't say, well, he's God. He is God. But my friend, I want to tell you something. He endured Calvary as a man. He hung on the cross as a man. He was beat as a man. They spit on him. They pulled his beard and jerked it from his skin. They placed the crown of thorns on his head. All of those things, beat him with a stick, beat him with a cat of nine tails. You know what a cat of nine tails is? It's a whip. It's a handle with nine pieces of leather sticking out on it. And in the end of every piece of leather, there is a piece of sharp bone or sharp metal tied into it, so that when the lash comes down, it doesn't just make a whelp on the prisoner. When the cat of nine tails comes down on his back, my friend, it tears flesh from bone. It tears the flesh right off of the ribs, off of the backbone. The person is left, that Scripture says in one place, that we couldn't even desire him as a man. You could not see him as a human being because he was so disfigured with what had happened. What a terror. And all of this, my brothers and sisters, he's hanging alone on that tree. And the thing of it is, he knew this was going to happen. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew I was going to die, if I had a word of prophecy that I will die in Bluff City, guess how I'm going home to get to Pembroke today? It ain't through Bluff City. No, if I had to go home today and I have a word of prophecy from the Lord that I'm going to die in Bluff City, I'll go to Nares and go up Wolf Creek and go across to White Gate and come down on the other side. Why should I go there? If I never go there, I'm not going to die. Sometimes we say, oh, I wish God would tell me, I wish God would reveal to me. Let me tell you, I don't know if you could stand to look at the future or not. I don't know if you could stand to bear and looking at everything that's going on. How would you handle it? What would you do? I could not want to look down the road and see all the things that's going to happen. I couldn't bear it. But I tell you, Jesus had that to do. That's why he knelt in the garden the evening before this, three times. He went in and he knelt and he said, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He couldn't do it. He came back again and he prayed the second time, oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. The answer was no. He came back the third time, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the answer is still no. And finally, he bows his head to his heavenly Father and says what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, my friends, how horrible it was to look and to see that coming and to see this suffering coming and see all of this that's happening come to pass in his life. And here he's alone. Who does he have to lean on? Who does he have to talk to? Jesus, and this might be a hint to Christian people, Jesus had a strong and a good prayer life. He is God incarnate in human flesh, in a human body, but he prays. He goes out in the field in the nighttime, while everybody else is sleeping. He spends his time praying. He prays, and when he prays, he gets answers. Angels come and minister to him when he prays. Read it. Read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you can see that when he prays, God on heaven's throne, the Lord Jesus Christ being in the form of a man on earth, and the angels come and they talk with him and they minister him. Even one time, Elijah and Moses came and talked with him about his passion, about his death that was coming. He's used to having a prayer life with God. He's used to it that when he goes to pray, God listens and answers. and God strengthens him. This time he goes to Calvary and he's hanging in the worst agony that any human being could have. This crucifixion is designed to last a long time. People lasted days hanging on the cross, people. When Jesus died, he didn't die because they killed him. He died, although they're guilty of murder, he died because he yielded up the Spirit. He gave his Spirit. When he finished saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," then he cried one more time, and the word he cried that time is finished. The conflict is over. The great controversy has been settled. Death is no longer the ruler of the world and a hopeless thing to deal with. The gospel has come. The darkness is past, and he has finished what he came to do. But I have to tell you, crucifixion was not anything to, you know, some lady preacher one time made me this little cross. I appreciate her doing that. I appreciate it, really. But you know what about this little cross? It's just a pretty ornament. That's all it is. It's just a pretty piece of jewelry. The cross, my friend, was ugly. The cross was horrible. Crucifixion was the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. And when we look at what's going on, you know, something I've never quite figured out. There's something in human beings that likes to see bad stuff. You said, really? Sure. If you turn on your television at night and you take off of it every time somebody's killed, every time somebody's shot, every time somebody's murdered, every time somebody's stabbed, you are going to have a lot of vacant space. There's something about human beings. You know what? Years ago, we read about it. Over in Parisburg, what could you do to get a crowd of people out there on Monday afternoon or Monday morning or sometime? Have a hanging. That's all you have to do to get a crowd. Have a hanging. Build a scaffold in the courthouse yard, tie a rope to it, and stand a man out there with a noose around his neck, and people will come from all over the county to watch it. People come to watch executions. They still do it in other countries. They once did it there. In Jerusalem, when people were crucified, they came from all over Israel to watch them die. Jesus Christ had seen crucifixions. I'm not just talking about because he's God and can see everything. I'm talking about because he's also man and he's living here on earth. One time during the life of Christ, a Roman general hung 3,000 people up on crosses. The Jews were rebellious. He lined crosses up all the way down the road coming into Jerusalem and put crosses with human beings hanging on them, on every one. And they were left there. Jesus Christ was taken down and put in Joseph's tomb simply because Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, thank you. I wanted to say Bartimaeus, and I didn't write Nicodemus. Simply because they asked for the body and begged for it and guaranteed what would happen to it. That's the only reason he was taken down. Ordinarily, bodies were hung on crosses and they spent days. People that were crucified went crazy, folks. Literally, they lost their mind on the cross. They screamed, they yelled, they hollered. 24 hours a day. To get a breath, you had to push yourself up because you're filling up with fluid. So you have to push yourself up to get a breath and exhale it and get the old out. And as you go up and down that cross, my friend, the agony is getting horrible. It's getting beyond anything you can think of. And people came to watch that agony. People came to watch what was going on. And these people made fun of Jesus. Remember, I'm telling you, they're close enough to touch him. They're close enough to make eye contact with him. And as he hangs there on that cross, my friend, don't you know they're making fun of him? You read that in the 22nd Psalm. It talks about they shoot out the lips at him. They make fun of him. They ridicule him. They call him bad names. And when he hollers, Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani, what do they say? Wait, wait, somebody said, he's calling, you know, he said, wait, wait. Said he's calling for Elijah to come. You see, Elijah is prophesied to come before the end of time. So they know he's coming. When he cries that out, it wouldn't be the same as crying it out in New York. You might cry it out in New York, nobody know what you said. These people are Jews. They go to synagogue, they go to temple. They have rabbis to teach them. They know what he said. And when they hear him holler, Eli, Eli, they think he's crying for Elijah. Well, he really wasn't. He was saying, why have you forsaken me? For the first time ever in his life, he is forsaken by Heavenly Father. For the first time, and the only time, that he was ever left alone. But why was he left there? Well, I'll tell you why. The world had a problem. The world had a sin debt they could not pay. Every human being in the world was guilty of sin. Every human being in the world would have gone to hell if something didn't happen. Somebody has to do something. Somebody has to intervene. The mankind is dying, lost and undone without God. Mankind is going down to the pit, to the depths of hell, and to burn because he does not know God. And my friend, somebody can do something. Jesus Christ comes down from glory and lives on this earth, carries our sin debt with him to Calvary. And when he walks up that hill and they nail him to that cross, my friend, that's my sins that got nailed to the cross. That's my sins that are gone on that cross. And every human being in the world. Brothers and sisters, it's not about the Cadbury bunny. It's not about Easter baskets. It's not about all of the things that we do. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying that's what it's not about. It's about human beings. The whole kit and caboodle of our race is going to hell. And God so loves the world. Somebody said, God hates the world. God loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. My brothers and sisters, as you go from this place this morning and as you travel through life this week, I want you to remember dark Calvary. I want you to remember that you're here and you have what you have and you can do what you do because somebody paid the price for your salvation. Somebody paid for you. And so, my friends, we kneel at the cross. We kneel at the cross. Why do we use a cross? I'll tell you why we use a cross. Because even though they're pieces of jewelry, some of them are very valuable, especially in some of the Catholic churches from across the water. There's some very valuable crosses up in the church studded with jewels. There were no jewels. The only thing that was on the old rugged cross was the blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, as you go this week, you realize that you have a home in heaven. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you ask Him to come into your heart, you've repented of your sins and are trusting Him, my friend, if you die this week, you can be with the Lord in peace forever and ever. Hallelujah. And my friends, you are guaranteed all that. This man hung in darkness, in shame and humiliation. This man hung between heaven and earth, a disgrace to everybody who knew him, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. But my friend, I'm glad to tell you today that there was enough for me and you. There's enough at the foot of the cross for all of us. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to not know for sure that your sins are under the blood. God loves you, my friend. And God loves me. And we can sing with the children, "Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so." Heavenly Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord that you'll hear the prayers of your people. Father, we come into your presence and we confess our weakness. We confess our slowness to do what it is you'd have us to do. Father, I pray today that your holy blessings of God, your holy mercies will be upon us. Father, that you will show us how to go. I thank you for the scriptures, Lord, that you left a testimony of your saving grace, of your death on Calvary. Father, as we go through this holy season of Easter, we pray that the Spirit of God will move upon us. Not only us, Father, but the other churches all around the country. People are celebrating the death of Christ. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will stir us up, Father, to be nearer to the cross than we ever have before. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.